Part 15. Rainy. Chapter 31. They have left Henry, left him to the hunters. Rainy understands the necessity of what Henry has asked, and she appreciates her great uncle's sacrifice, but she's not sure that she'll be able to live with herself. Already guilt and grief have created a black hole in her spirit that sucks her down into a darkness more profound than any of the fears she's felt during their flight. But Henry has tasked her with getting Dolores to safety, and this is what drives her now, this final promise. The way is difficult. There's no deer trail to follow, and the women bushwhack along the creek. Dolores is struggling, but bravely so. She limps and with each breath puffs out a little grunt of pain. There's no hope of hiding their trail, and Rainy doesn't even try. What she hopes is that somehow Henry can delay the men. He was certain they would follow, certain there is one among them who understands the wilderness as he does, but she has no idea how far behind them the trackers might be. After an hour, Dolores begs to stop and rest. They sit on a pine felled in some past storm. The day is warmed and Rainy is sweating. She removes her jacket, bundles it, and shoves it in the knapsack.
"Is that creek water safe to drink?" Dolores asks. "My throat is parched."
For 2 days, they have been drinking water supplied by the wilderness. Each time, Dolores has asked the same question. Rainy gives her the same answer she's given before. "Probably, but there's always the risk of Giardia, which is a parasite that can cause all kinds of stomach distress." Dolores hobbles to the creek, kneels, and drinks, but Rainy stays where she is, her eyes on the woods in the direction that they've come from. Behind her, she hears Dolores say,
"I'm sorry."
"Don't keep saying that. This isn't your fault.
If I hadn't come, you wouldn't be in this mess."
"But you might. And didn't you come for our help?" Dolores returns and sits beside her on the felled pine.
"Lou's family has talked about the visions that sometimes come to people during ceremonies or in sweats. Since Lou stopped talking to me, I've been desperate. In the sweat, I prayed for a vision, something to tell me how to help him, how to help us."
She gives Rainy a troubled look.
"I didn't get a vision. Instead, I got a pack of wolves wanting to rip us apart. Did I offend the spirits?"
"This has nothing to do with your prayers and the sweat, Dolores. In a sweat, if you're sincere in your prayer, there's no offending of spirits."
"It's Lou these men are after. Maybe he's hiding from them, and they think I know where he is."
"Is it personal or business?" Rainy asks.
"I've been hoping it might be both. Maybe he's not having an affair with this Katie. Maybe he's somehow in business with her, and she's got them both in deep trouble."
"You said your husband deals in real estate and that he's been going to Canada a lot lately. Could it be related?"
"I suppose. Lou sometimes acts as a middleman in land negotiation with reserves in Manitoba. That's where his father's family is from. He has lots of clan connections, but I think he hasn't always been on their side."
She breathes deeply, a little sadly.
"He's made a lot of money from his Canadian business associations. Maybe it's begun to bother him. Some of the darkness that's crept over him, maybe it's the result of guilt."
She looks to Rainy as if for confirmation. "You believe he might have been helping steal land from his people?" "It wouldn't be the first time that's happened," Rainy says with a note of bitterness. "But how is this Katie involved?"
"That's what I'd like to know."
"I'm going to find you a walking stick and we're going to get out of these woods. Then Cork can help us with figuring out Katie." She smiles. He really is a good PI. They walk another mile and come to a place where the creek threads through marshland a couple of hundred yards across whose shoreline is populated by tamaracks.
Rainey looks back at the trail they've left and thinks about the sharpened stake Henry planted in the trail along the bog the day before. She knows there are only two men tracking them now. Because of the slow pace Dolores's injured ankle forces them to keep, Rainey is certain the men will overtake them long before they can reach the reservation. She makes a decision. You go that way. I'll meet you at the other end of the marsh, where the creek flows free again.
Why split up?
Dolores asks, her concern clear. To confuse them and separate them, Rainey answers. Like we did before.
What difference does it make if we separate them? It's not going to slow them down much.
But simply slowing them down isn't what Rainey's thinking of now. Just do it, she says, a little harshly. Dolores shrugs and turns away to circle the marsh. As she moves ahead, Rainey looks for the advantage she prays she can find. She wants a high, protected place. Nothing presents itself until she reaches the far end of the marsh where Dolores is waiting. That's when Rainey spots what she's been looking for. The creek exits the marsh and runs again in a clear stream. 100 yards south, the water makes a curve around a rocky knoll. The two women continue along the creek, but as soon as they've passed the knoll, Rainey stops.
You go on. Stay with the creek, and it will take you to safety.
You're not coming with me? Dolores says.
I'll join you in a bit.
I can't just leave you.
I'll join you later, Dolores. I promise. You need to keep moving as quickly as possible.
I'm not leaving you.
Henry sacrificed himself for you. I won't have that be a sacrifice made in vain. Go now.
Dolores stands firm.
We've come this far together. We're finishing this together, however it goes.
She eyes the Winchester in Rainey's hands.
A last stand, is that it? Are you any good with the rifle?
Yes, Rainey says.
Then what needs to be done, we do together.
They stand a long time facing each other until at last Rainey gives a nod.